jump, 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 jump. I said a hip hop, the hibbit of a hip hip hop, you don't stop. Rap, 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 rap.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big sharp enough.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It's time to talk about things that happened this week in the news here on The Wrap on News Radio 92.3. Every week we end our 20 hours of broadcasting with a little half-hour conversation with a couple of friends in studio. Today we have John Hutchinson, a repeat offender. Good to have you back, John.
Thanks, Andrew. Always good to be here.
John, who I just learned is actually playing guitar at the Gulf Breeze Arts Festival tomorrow night.
That is correct.
Six o'clock?
6 o'clock.
Solo?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah.
And... I want to be there in the early afternoon. I'm probably not going to be there again at night, but I would I would almost come back just to watch you play, because I never have seen you play. And I know Candy was a big fan, and you know that must mean you're awesome. So
I don't know about that. I enjoy it. I'll put it that way.
A first time offender. Let's call him. maybe he'll get probation. Steve Strober, who is a former aide to Mike Kohler in District 2 in Escambia County, is now running his own campaign for District 1 in Escambia County. Steve, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News.
Thank you very much.
Retired naval aviator, Mustang. That means he was enlisted and then became an officer and part of the aviation officer candidate school.
That's it.
Yep. AOCS that we used to have here and do not have here anymore. And flew Seahawks, the big plane, the big helicopters.
Well, not the big guys, but probably the most prominent helicopter. I think everyone's pretty familiar with the airframe. It's the same airframe as
the Black Hawk.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sorry, the medium-sized one. The Stallions, but the middle-sized. Okay, a very, very common platform for the Navy. So let's start with this. The governor just signed the anti-public camping ordinance requiring that municipalities, which would be the city of Pensacola, Gulf Breeze, Milton, and also the counties of Santa Rosa and Escambia, would basically remove anybody who camps overnight from public lands. That includes sidewalks, that includes parking lots, that also includes parks, any buildings that the public owns or anywhere near them. And then there's an option that they can have an exemption to allow public camping in designated areas where there's also security and running water and things like this. And they can only do that for a year, and it has to not affect the property values in adjacent areas. I have no idea how they make that happen. Some people, myself included, have raised the question that this starts to look an awful lot like criminalizing poverty. At the same time, when homeless people are abusing the privilege of being in public areas and making it unusable for the rest of us, that's no good either. So your thoughts about this new law that starts to take effect in October, John?
Well, it sounds like a mishmash of a lot of probably good ideas that were just thrown together. No funding.
There was originally, but I think it all got taken off in the end, I think that's what happened.
Right.
Yeah.
But even then there wasn't enough.
Certainly not.
So if I'm a municipal governor, I'm looking at this going, so what are we supposed to do?
Right.
I mean, it's just very confusing in terms of how you handle that. But I agree with you. It is getting pretty close to saying, you know, if you're asleep on a park bench, you know, you may want to get tapped on the shoulder.
Right.
So there's just too many questions in it to me to be definitive.
Have you ever fallen asleep in a park, on a bench, or at the beach?
At the beach, most definitely.
Every time I go.
Yeah, that's why you go.
Yeah, I mean, you can't do it overnight now, I guess, but you couldn't before. But, you know, that's to me what it starts to look like is a behavior that would be unquestionably normal starts to become a criminal.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Steve, your thoughts about this?
Well, I'm not for camping in public myself. That's been a big problem that Mike Kohler's office has had to deal with, and I think there's some big problems up in District 1 as well with that and some heavily wooded areas.
And District 3, we got the big one on Beggs Lane or whatever, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yeah. I don't think the campers know about this new law. So it's going to be a big job getting them all out of there. But I've experienced it. I've seen them out there, you know, camping or whatever they call it. I think it's just, I don't know, hanging out a lot and panhandling. And when they're not panhandling, they're just hanging out.
I think about the new tax collector's office going in on 29 southwest of Brent there that used to be, a long time ago, was a playground. And then it became a homeless ground because it's right down the road from, you know, a shelter or a service facility, not a shelter. And then they started building the new facility there, which is going to have some public space in it. But clearly the homeless are displaced. Mm-hmm. They don't necessarily have another place to go. And, you know, they're trying to find a place to go. And, you know, it's a challenge. But that park was essentially unusable for most. I mean, no moms and kids wanted to go there.
Right.
And that's I mean, that's a problem. Right.
Yeah. Are they just going to be moving back into the 101?
That's what they did before. I don't know. I wonder if the county, I don't know. The county and the city are basically all saying we're going to wait and see how this plays out, work on the legal aspects of it. But do you guys, do you think the city and or the county is actually, they've talked about this a little bit, about creating a place, but then you got to find a place where they can do it, right?
Right.
Well, and then you got to pay for the facilities, the bathrooms, the water, the showers, those kinds of things. So it's one of those issues that you either fully accommodate or you fully eliminate. Mm-hmm. It's hard to do an in between, and I think that's where we all land, is trying to do an in between. Mm-hmm. We don't want to fully accommodate because that just encourages more. And to Stephen's point, that's not a good thing. But you don't want to fully eliminate either, because people have needs and people need help. And so that's the dilemma we face as a community, is what do you do with these people?
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say these people. I don't mean to sound that way.
I know what you mean. Yeah, no, that's right.
But people who need a hand up, and some of them don't want a hand up. And so it's a dilemma. And I think DeSantis is trying at his best to say, if you're camping and you don't have a place to stay, you need to move on and go to another. I think he's trying to eliminate it or force communities to accommodate them in such a way that that makes it work. So it's tough.
And, we are a victim of our own goodness.
Yep.
I mean, why do we have panhandlers? Because people give to panhandlers. Exactly. If we didn't give, they wouldn't be there, period. I mean, if everybody stopped giving for a month, they'd go away.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know what they would do exactly, but they wouldn't do it here. And also social services. We have so many different organizations providing services, which I contribute to a lot of these agencies because I think they do a lot of good.
Yep.
But if there were no services, again, these people are not all deranged and crazy and addicted and whatever. They're sometimes engaging in a rational transaction, which is good weather, generous people, and social services. Let's go there. And if those things didn't happen, they wouldn't be here, right?
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, my wife and I, actually, when I was a young Marine, we had a homeless person in our house for Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
I won't tell you who he was, just somebody we knew. And I'll never do that again, even if I know the person. But it was, I've got a heart like everybody else does. I want to help, but I don't want to create a magnet either.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. But I don't know. What are your thoughts?
We had one time, and this is totally a God thing. Okay. Like, you know, I met a couple who were homeless, and God was like, you know, take them home. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm calling my wife first. Mm-hmm. And just as we were single, you know, we were just the two of us. We didn't have kids yet.
Yep.
And, I mean, it was a real blessing of an experience. It genuinely was. Fred and Ramona, I remember them vividly to this day. Great people, wonderful, just kind of down on their luck and in between situations or whatever. And we kept them at our house for a couple of days and fed them and took care of them. And then, you know, they moved on to wherever they went. Yeah. But I wouldn't recommend it. And we certainly haven't done that since we had kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wonder sometimes if you know, we have social service agencies that do a lot of this. I've been involved with MANA for years, and they certainly help in this area. There's other agencies that do this. But when government gets involved in it, I think it changes the face of it. Mm-hmm. And so maybe if we supported social service agencies more, our churches and those kinds of things, then government wouldn't have to be a problem for government. And I think the private sector could solve it and could deal with it much better.
Yeah.
But because government gets involved in it, there are a lot of folks who say, well, I'm not helping that person. They can go get food stamps, or there's lots of programs for them, so why do I need to help?
Right.
And so I think that's part of the dilemma, too, is that government has a hard time getting on that level, whereas folks like MANA and Loaves and Fishes and those kinds of people really are on the ground and know how to handle it.
Knowing the people, staring them in the eye, spending time with them, all of that kind of stuff. And I think, and to some degree, the churches, I think, have failed the gospel mission, right? To take care of the poor, the widow, the orphan, the incarcerated, you know, and some of them do.
Yes.
And many of them do not. And, you know, that creates a space into which government comes, because there's a vacuum and there's a problem that has to be solved. So we got the wrap here. We're talking with John Hutchinson and Steve Stroberger. Let's get traffic from Jake. Jake?
Not seeing anything on our roadways to report. No major slowdowns and no accidents reported by FHP. If you see anything out there on the roadways, you can always call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. I don't know if either of you have a thought about it. I've been talking about it a lot this morning because it's sort of the most recent news, but we found out the Escambia Children's Trust collects about $10 million a year and $500,000 ad valorem taxes from us because we passed it a couple years ago. But a small slice of that money, about $300,000 a year, is really not supposed to go to them. Maybe there's dispute, but it's supposed to go to the community redevelopment agency that takes care of, you know, the blighted, struggling areas, basically. And they say the money should stay with them, maybe even by statute, because it's supposed to go to help kids. And at the CRA, it won't. They also say, whoa, this is a sudden announcement. Can you give us some time? Yesterday, the county commission, led by Stephen Berry primarily, over the concerns of Lumen May, I thought, and Mike Kohler voted with Stephen Berry as well. They said, no, give us the money. We're going to take this money and give it to the CRA. So now we have a tax increase that's going to do CRA things instead of going to help kids. And they didn't wait, which I thought would have been the right move, is let's wait and just see. This is not urgent. It's been 3 years this has been developing. It doesn't have to be decided today. Jeff Bergosh is not in attendance, and we don't have a District 4 representative. So we're actually missing a person to, you know, and I know Robert Bender would have been good input, and whoever comes in his place. And I don't know. I don't get why they didn't just wait.
Yeah. It's another example, as I said earlier, of the government very inefficiently trying to handle situations, in this case, helping children.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I love children and
me too.
And support organizations that do that. But it's an example of how inefficient they do it. And so now we are paying our property tax dollars. We voted 60% of people approved to add to your property tax to help the trust, to help children. But now a portion of that's going to the county for them to do what they please with. And anytime you put a pot of money together in Northwest Florida, particularly in Escambia County, anytime there's a pot of money sitting there, somebody will come and try to appropriate it. And this feels like that's what this is. The Escambia Trust needs more time. They stumbled out of the starting blocks.
A lot of stumbling
because they had no plan. That's another example. We're just going to pass something. We have no plan. What are they going to do? Oh, it's good things for the children. What is that? Nobody knew all that. We just passed it. Okay, so that's probably on us too. But now you've got all that money sitting there and with plans that are developing. Okay, and the county needs to give them more time. They really do.
Well, you know, unfortunately, they made the decision yesterday.
Yeah, I know.
So, but my frustration with this is that now they're going to sue to get the money back. You got to assume.
Yeah.
There's going to be litigation over this.
Yeah.
And now you would have spent some money on lawyers' fees haggling over it.
Yeah.
Now you're going to spend more money than you would have spent otherwise. And then in the end, I mean, who knows, but we're all losing in this process. The Children's Trust has about $8 million in reserves because we haven't found enough programs, but the CRA has money in reserve, I think $6 or $7
million. Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of Triumph has got a bunch of money they haven't spent yet.
Yes.
You know, money's sitting there waiting to be used. Thoughts, Steve?
Well, we don't use that money. I mean, we got that big pot of money in the Children's Trust we're not using. I think that if they're going to use it in the neighborhoods, in the CRAs, then they better at least have a plan on how they're going to spend it. They can spend it on playgrounds and stuff like that. They can spend it on the kids still. But I think they're just kind of waiting for them to spend money, and they're not really managing that money at all.
Yeah, and the assessment from the Children's Trust folks was there's only one CRA cantonment that has anything that seems to be even children benefit related.
Yeah.
I just think of it as, you know, you could have voted to just return the money to the taxpayers.
Exactly.
I mean, that didn't happen. No, we'll keep the money for the county. Yeah. I just feel like we passed a tax increase. It was supposed to help kids, and now it's not. It's just going to the CRA, and that's pretty frustrating on top of the frustrations we have with the thing to begin with. Yeah. I'm optimistic about Lindsay Cannon.
Yes.
You know, I hear very, very good things about her, and I'm optimistic that things are going to turn around, but you know, I'm often optimistic and disappointed. So I hope that's not the case here.
If it leads back to more lawsuits, then I think that we're back in our comfort zone.
No, don't even.
Well, you know, the Children's Trust concept has been very successful in other parts of the state. And I don't know if we can learn from them. So I'm all for continuing the concept of it, but we've got to get better plans in place. We can't have an organization where everybody just comes with their hands out, and that's how this started. And I knew it would. When you put a lot of money in a pot, here comes everybody who wants a piece of it, whether they have a good plan or a bad plan, and it puts the trust in a difficult position. So I wonder if there aren't plans and programs that the trust itself could initiate.
Yeah.
And fund.
Patterned off of successes elsewhere.
Yes, and instead of just funding the existing 501c3s we have out there. Where can we help children the most? And if we have this much money to do it, and look at it from that angle, and I think that might make it more successful.
Well, what did we learn with the American Rescue Plan and all of the other massive government funding programs is there are going to be some real needs that are going to be met, and there's going to be some genuine fraud. and a substantial amount of it. And then somewhere in between, you know, things that are sort of put together because the money is available that aren't really justified as good investments necessarily. But, hey, we got to spend the money somehow. And, man, I'm terrified when government has money it's got to spend.
Yes.
Because, I mean, it doesn't do good with problems it's got to solve and it doesn't really have money. Yeah. When it's got just surplus money laying around to spend on something, oh, it'll find a way.
Yes. I think rather than I've said the same thing about Triumph, and Triumph is a wonderful thing. It's funded some really, really great projects that have brought great jobs to this area, and it'll continue to do so, I'm sure. But I've said the same thing about Triumph. Instead of them just standing there waiting for people to come ask for the money, they should do an analysis, and I know they've done some of this. Rick Harper is just awesome with Triumph, on where that money could be best spent in Northwest Florida to create jobs. And then they themselves go out and create that program or that project or fund others to do it, but with a specific plan, with specific goals, and put that money to work.
Or, I mean, almost the sort of the RFQ kind of concept or something, like, you know, here's a general direction we'd like to see. Yes. Anybody interested?
Yes.
Come to, you know, instead of just having to go them and, you know, shoot it up against the wall and see what happens, which, you know, oftentimes leads to a no.
Yeah.
We got the wrap going on. We got Steve Stroberger. He is a candidate for District 1, former aide to District 2 Commissioner Mike Kohler in Escambia County. John Hutchinson, who has done a lot of things. And now he plays guitar and talks on the radio and, you know, takes care of his dogs and fishes. Jake has got traffic on the fives. Jake?
All right. Not seeing anything on our roadways to report to you this morning. Everything is checking in clear. If you do see anything on our roadways slowing us down, you can always call or text our traffic tip line. That phone number is 437-1620. I am Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
So one of the stories that came out this week that... I have a different one. This is because I know John's a passion of yours. I'm going to ask you.
All right.
I did not watch all of the county commission meeting. I actually just watched the end because that's the stuff on the Children's Trust that I wanted to see. I know they had a big conversation about Baptist.
Yes.
And the city sent, Alex in there to ask for a couple million dollars.
Yes.
Which they sort of soft got, a commitment on. And it's hard to be optimistic about another land deal for development when we've got so many land deals that don't, at least yet, turn out.
Exactly. It's speculation, and there's nothing wrong with speculation per se if you have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got a private entity, Baptist Hospital, very well respected, and they've got some property they want to give the city. Well, they don't know if it's an asset or a liability.
Right.
And so before I would run off and invest a lot of money in something that I wasn't sure was an asset or a liability, I would first ask myself, do I need it? Do I want it?
Yeah.
If you want to sell me a 1962 automobile, I would want to think, well, what am I going to do with it first? And we haven't answered that question. Affordable housing, they throw things out like that, but nobody has a plan on what to do with the property. But yet, we're investing taxpayer money, state, city, county, taxpayer money, into something that we have no clue. Is it going to pan out? What are we going to do with it if we get it? Where we have a private landholder sitting over here who really should be liable for any of those issues, not taxpayers.
Yeah.
So that's my concern. I'm not saying it's a wrong thing to do. I'm not saying it's bad because I think there's a lot of good that could come from it. But what's the plan? What's the plan, and in a systematic way, what is our return going to be? If I'm going to invest money in something, I want to know what the return is. It doesn't have to be financial. It could be human.
Right.
In terms of meeting human needs. And I don't think we've defined that yet, and that's my concern with that whole project.
Before we were on the air, you had asked me the question, if I had $10,000 to invest in a bond towards being a right holder in the Baptist,
would you do it?
No.
Because
I don't even know what I'm buying.
I wouldn't either. And no private speculators are doing it either, so that should tell you something.
And we have, OLF 8 and the Tech Park and Community Maritime Park, some of which may pay off, some of which may, that's the problem. Steve?
Well, I think John's right. I think it's both a liability and an asset. It's both of those, but it ain't going to be an asset until later. I think they should have had a plan way before this to find a way to, liquidate the property, build it into something else, whatever it's going to be. It can't stand the way it is. I don't think it can. I've heard rumors of it becoming a homeless shelter and some other things. I don't think anyone in that neighborhood wants that to happen. But something there definitely needs to be a plan. I don't think the taxpayers should be paying for that plan.
Yeah, and that's the problem, is we have sort of a generalized idea that we'd like to do a good thing, which is noble.
Right.
We've got problems that we'd like to generally solve, which is good. And then the question is, well, how do we get from here to there? And I appreciate DC's position. I appreciate Alvin Andrade's position. I appreciate you know, a lot of people that have an interest in, you know, solving this somehow or other. And even the people who live in that area who feel like, you know, hey, I thought we were told this and now all of a sudden that's not happening. And Baptist is just gone for us, which is right. a big loss for that community. So,
yeah.
You know, it's kind of back to the thing we were talking about before, you know, government having a bunch of money or having invested a bunch of money in a project and now what? Right. And it is pulling teeth to get anything Community Maritime Park past the council or anything at OLFA past the commission or... Right. Because government is not a great land speculator.
It's not.
Or developer.
It
not usually.
Not. It is not.
Well, Steve Stroberger, John Hutchinson, man, the time goes by pretty quickly. Thank you guys for being here today. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks for having us, Andrew.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.